You don't even have to pedal.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Joint Committee on Marijuana Regulation, which I will now call to order. Tonight, we have two items on our agenda. We're going to take the last one first. We have a work session on Senate Bill 1057, which has been our basic framework bill that has gone through a lot of work and iterations, and we're prepared to move that bill tonight with the Dash 23 amendment. As you will probably see if you look on OLIS, there are a lot of amendments and a lot of alternative suggestions on the wait a minute. First of all, I'm going to open a work session. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 1057. As you see from looking on OLIS, there are a lot of amendments that are posted on OLIS with different approaches to some of the content that's in Senate Bill 1057. There's another bill that I have committed to work to have a hearing, a full hearing on options, and to work within the next 2 weeks if people are ready by then, which is House Bill 2198, which was introduced by our colleague over there, Representative Wilson.
Yeah.
And so some of the amendments that you see on listed for 1057 are amendments that you will see back for full consideration within the context of House Bill 2198. This is very similar to the process we went through in 2015. There are some of these amendments that I think I specifically have committed to, and one of the most important ones, I think, is the ability of medical growers who are tracked to have access to the OLCC system, up to 20 plants per year. 20 pounds.
Pounds.
They don't.
Come on.
You'd think I'd know this by now, that you don't put plants into the system. Anyway, up to 20 pounds a year. And that would enable the medical growers to have an income stream that will help them better serve their patients. And that's just one example of the amendments that we will be considering. But tonight, our job is to get the framework that we've been working so hard on all session passed, with the knowledge that we will have another shot at some of these issues. And if amendments are adopted in the future to House Bill 2198 that conflict with the content that we have in Senate Bill 1057, then those amendments would take precedence. So we don't need to worry about losing our chance on some of these issues that people care about.
Madam Chair, which version of 23s are the 5-2 or the 425?
Madam Chair, Senator Cruz, both are the exact same. We've just posted them twice since we considered them in two different hearings.
Okay.
So they better be the same.
So at this time, I will invite our counsel, Mark Mayer, up to the dais to up to the podium, the dais to explain again the Dash 23 amendments. We've already gone over them, but just to have a last refresher before we vote on them.
That's this one.
Welcome.
Chairs Leininger, Burdick, members of the committee, my name is Mark Mayer, Deputy Legislative Counsel. I was asked to testify again to the content of the Dash 23 amendments to Senate Bill 1057. I reviewed them, and they really come down to 10 major points. So I just thought I would mention those 10 points, not in reference to the amendments themselves, since we've already covered that ground, but just to give a basic testimony as to the content of the amendment. The amendment contains several general statements of law that are supposed to signal legislative intent as to how the recreational program is supposed to function, as well as to the nature of a licensee, that a license is an exception to criminal prosecution as opposed to necessarily what you would normally define license to be underneath the dictionary definition. The amendments contain a fix to language concerning Oregon Liquor Control Commission regulatory specialists, in that it limits their functionality to how they interact and how they discipline licensees, and not having the broader role that regulatory specialists play with respect to alcohol regulation in regulating general public matters. The amendments do include increased disciplinary powers for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, both with respect to financial disclosure of licensees, as well as issuing letters of reprimand. Both of these things are the financial disclosure. It is based on the alcohol statutes. It's a power they have underneath the alcohol statutes that they don't have for the marijuana statutes. So we've modeled that those statutes here. With the letter of reprimand, it's a power they need here that they don't need with the alcohol statutes, because with respect to the marijuana laws, they are specifically directed to only discipline licensees. And this issue came up in that sometimes licenses revoked or suspended, and that connection between licensee and their regulatory power is disconnected without these provisions. So this will allow them to continue to discipline somebody even after revocation of licensure. The fourth thing that the Dash 23 amendments do is they allow marijuana licensees to interact with the public in a new way by taking their products to trade shows and exhibitions. The fifth thing they do, a fairly extensive part of the Dash 23s, is they allow licensees to declare themselves as being exclusively medical. The reasons for that were handled in previous hearings. Basically, this is both for protection purposes from the federal government, as well as for purposes of allowing OLCC licensure to occur in medical-only counties. They contain a database for information sharing. OHA is supposed to develop this database for sharing information concerning patient cardholders with both the Department of Revenue and the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, so that those two agencies can quickly fulfill their statutory mandates. They transfer labeling responsibilities for the Oregon Health Authority to the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. They establish plant limits with respect to medical growers. The first type of plant limit that they establish is two immature marijuana plants for every mature marijuana plant, no matter what type of grow operation it is. And then for residence grow operations, not designated growers who have a designated marijuana grow site for patients, but for residence grow sites, 10 marijuana plants at those particular sites, six underneath the medical program, and then the four that you're allowed per household under the Measure 91 statutes. The final large item that's in these amendments is, of course, tracking, which we've been talking about for several weeks now. The tracking, it has evolved since we have first drafted it for the Dash 14s. It requires Oregon Medical Marijuana Program registrants to be subject to tracking by July 1st, 2018. It includes a schedule by which they will be subject to tracking. It relieves them of their duty to basically provide other information to OHA at the time that they are subject to metric tracking. And then finally, it provides funding for it. So there's all those things in the amendments here. And then finally, there's a host of technical amendments that are comprise the majority of the pages of the bill that standardize the language and clean up some of the language with respect to some of the fallout from the quick drafting and heavy load that we lifted in 2015. It cleans up some of that language at that point. So that's really what this bill or this amendment does. I can take any questions.
Okay, questions for Mr. Mayor. Floyd, Senator Krasinski.
Thank you. So, Mark, I want to go over something you said. I just think this is very important to put on the record again and establish the record. On the Dash 23s, on page one, we have the section three. You may mention to one of the major changes is in lines 18 through 21. This is where it says, serves the purpose of exempting a person who holds the license from criminal laws in this state for possession, delivery, and manufacturing of marijuana items, provided that the person complies with all state laws and the rules that are applicable for licensee. It's my understanding that normally these type of definitions are not written this way, in the sense that it would be just the reverse. This is, and I want to bear out that this provision is, will be exempting a person as compared to authorizing a person.
Chairs Leininger, Burdick, Senator Pruzanski, that is correct.
Thank you for getting on the record. Any other comments? Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you. Mark, I wanted to ask you again about tracking, if you would restate where this amendment is on tracking as it relates to 12 and under and above 12 plants, if you would, please.
Chairs Leininger, Burdick, Representative Wilson. If you look on page 31 of the amendment, lines 13 to 16, it specifically says that this section does not apply to a marijuana grow site located at an address where a registry identification card holder produces marijuana and no more than 12 mature marijuana plants and 24 immature marijuana plants are produced. So for patient card holder sites where there are fewer than 12 plants, those sites are not included in tracking. They won't be subject to tracking. It's only for purely designated sites or sites that have more than 13 plants that would be subject to tracking. That would also apply to the increase in fees.
And you meant 13 or more?
13 and more. Thank you.
Okay. 13 and more, and we're talking about OMMB.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have a follow-up?
I think I'm okay for the moment.
Okay. Great. Other questions from the committee? Okay, thank you. So, Senator Farioli, we're ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 23 amendments into Senate Bill 1057.
Senator Farioli has moved the Dash 23 amendments into Senate Bill 1057. Discussion?
Senator
Pruzanski.
Yeah, Madam Co-Chair, I know at this point, for formality, we're moving the making the motion to get to move the bill forward. I know you and I have talked. Did you want me to talk about the alternative amendments now, or did you want to finish this part so we can have it on the record?
I think the appropriate place would be after the amendment is in the bill, and then to have a fuller discussion when we discuss the bill. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, other discussion? Representative Leininger.
Thank you. I want to thank everyone who's given input into this bill and everyone who's identified additional elements that require work during this legislative session, and be really clear that I expect to work hard to try to reach a positive conclusion on a number of additional elements in a subsequent bill, including a pathway to help APA registrants that are complying with the tracking system have the ability to sell product into the OLCC license system, which I think is a great way for us to help address diversion concerns, but also address stability of income needs for family farmers who are trying to respond to the evolving, economic situation for people who are in the sector. I'm excited about the bump-up language in this draft, and OLCC recently issued some communication about the fact that for folks who are in the OLCC license program who decide to avail themselves of the 10% bump-up, they have the ability to sell 25% of that into the OLCC license system so that the remaining 75% that they give for free to patients, they can afford to do, and hopefully that encourages OLCC participants to meet the really important need of continuing to help low-income patients have access to medicine. And I think there are a bunch of additional concerns that we've heard from people through written testimony or ideas that are a good idea, like what is the seedling to immature plant to mature plant ratio, a number of things that I look forward to working and trying to move to fruition in a bill that we address this session. So I'm going to be a yes vote on the Dash 23, but that's not the end of the story. We have a lot of good work ahead, and we look forward to working with you on it.
Thank you. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I am concerned at the speed at which we're doing this. We've done a lot of work and done a lot of great work, in my opinion, over the last years. And I just feel a sense of pressure, a sense of hurriedness to bring this home. And while I respect your position, certainly, and that of your co-chair, I'm just really not comfortable with wrapping it up this quickly on this amendment. Personally, I'd love to have another week because so much seems to be happening right now, coming in from all directions, and a lot of input. And so I'll just leave that. Just and respectfully, I say this. I just am concerned that it feels hasty to me after all that we have done, and I don't want to hurry. I know we're talking about the other bill, 2198, and the pinky swears we have here to do some things with that may work for the medical program or may not. But anyway, I'm just concerned with the speed that we're moving here. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Kind of echoing Representative Wilson's concerns here at the speed we are moving and the lack of uncertainty, which always exists in this building as to how things eventually moved. I would have preferred, there's a lot of good things in this. There's a lot of conflicts in this bill and the direction we are trying to take in the other bill. And I know we can deal with those things, but I would have preferred that we had both of them in the places we wanted them before we moved either of them. So, Madam Chair, in all due respect, I will be voting no on this simply for that reason, that I would have preferred that we had both of these pieces of legislation ready to go at the same time.
Okay, other discussion? Okay, why don't you call the roll on this?
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Senator Cruz?
No.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Fahey?
Aye.
Senator Ferrioli?
Aye.
Senator Brzozowski?
No.
Representative Olson?
No.
Co-Chair Burdick?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the amendment passes. Senator Ferrioli.
Madam Chair, what is the appropriate time for discussion?
It's after
the motion.
But what you...
Senator Brzozowski had a series of discussion points.
No, after the motion, then the discussion.
Okay, wasn't... Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't make that clear. Okay, motion?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1057 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved Senate Bill 1057 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Thank you.
Senator Ferrioli. I'm Senator Brzozowski.
We look a lot.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Madam Co-Chair, first, I reserve my right on the last one voting no because of the situations we've heard from the other who spoke out. But at this point, what I'd like to do is put on the record what we were wanting to put forward as dash amendments for the 1057, which at this point, based on both of the co-chairs' agreement to work forward, that we'll be looking to move into this. These actually do, in fact, will impact the dash 23s in different ways because of the differences of interpretation and how some of us feel that we should be working in concert to bring the medical community into the process without using a harsh stick as compared to other ways that we can ensure that compliance. So the dash 43s is one that deals with cap limits. What the dash 43s will do is will establish a cap limit for immature plants. And what we're looking at is going from unlimited, which it is today, to one mature plant for every five immature plants. So this would be a ratio of 1 to 5. The reason we went with 1 to 5 is that we wanted to ensure that we have viability in the plants that are being grown, the immature, and also that we know that the statutes already provide for individuals that are in the growing state to be able to share, transfer those to other card holders. And so we want to have that still be there. I think the other important part of this is that it's my understanding that when the work group was meeting, they were actually looking at a 1 to 6 ratio. So we've actually dropped it down by one and a good faith to try to give some type of cap. The work group that I was part of did not want a cap, but we understand because of some people's anxiety as to what the feds may be saying or doing, that we needed to maybe put something in. So we think this is fair, it's reasonable, and it's less than what was even in the major work group previously. That Dash 43s will also retain the ability for two individuals, which is currently allowed now, that are cardholders that live at the same household, to be able to each grow their six plants for medical purposes as they do today, and then at the same location. Unfortunately, the Dash 23s will narrow what a two individuals living in the same household, instead of allowing them to do what they do today. There's been little to no justification, at least shown to us, as to why we would need to pare down and not allow two individuals that just seem to be sharing the same household, be it a husband, wife, or whatever. If they both are card holders, they should be able to each grow their six plants at the same location. Dash 40 is access into the OLCC system, and as both the co-chairs have stated, that they will in fact be working to allow this to occur. What this will in fact allow is that for individuals who are growers within the medical community that are growing at least 13 plants, they would be able to transfer up to 20 pounds into the OLCC system during a one-year period. The testing of that would be required, but it would be open in the sense of not required to be done by the medical person. It could, in fact, be done by the wholesaler or the processor who would be buying it, as Rep. Helm had put forward. That was how we're going to try to streamline and at the same time maintain some distance between the growers and the actual retail outlets for those who are on the retail outlet, retail side of growing, so they don't feel that they are being threatened directly, that this would be a stopgap way of doing it. Regarding the Dash 26, this is one that the work group felt that probable cause should be the requirement before a search or inspection of a primary residence. Right now, it's at the administrative level, and because it is a home, a residence of individuals, we felt that we needed to have more than just a standard of a civil procedure of, I guess it would be reasonable suspicion. I'm not sure if it would be reasonable suspicion or if it would be something less than that, but we do believe probable cause is appropriate. The Dash 37s is the implementation date for the metric. The Dash 23s currently have it going into effect with full everyone on board July 1, 2018. There are two reasons why we felt that it should be extended another 6 months to January 1, 2019. Two reasons. Number one, mid-grow season, to actually ask people to then start going into having the obligations to shift from not having a metric system and only a reporting system. We thought that would be burdensome. And more importantly, we think that because of the number of people who will qualify for metric that are on the medical side, that it would make it much easier and streamline it by giving the agency 6 months. Now, I understand the agencies previously have had desires and ambition to be able to do things quicker. We do know in past practice we actually had to come back and extend, and so we felt that by having a clean slate after the growing season, after harvesting and distribution, it would be a time that we could actually have everyone move forward in a more systematic way and give the agency that additional time to make certain everyone's on the system and not needing a delay. The last two that we're looking at is the Dash 38s. This deals with security systems. I believe most of us have stated on the medical side, we do not want to see cameras or other security alarm type systems being required. What we had, had talked about and what I believe many people on this committee have stated, that the metric itself should be sufficient for this stage, and that we would do a step-by-step if we needed to go there. But at this point, we feel that the metric will, in fact, give us the accountability without requiring the undue burden and cost that cameras and other security systems would require on small operation and grow sites. Lastly is the use of the marijuana money and funds. Because of going into the tracking system, the Dash 41s would take and use the current fees that are coming into the program, which have been overwhelmingly sufficient to cover many costs of the program, and allow those costs to be used to bring others, the ones that are the growers within that have 13 plants or greater, to be in compliance with the metric. And it's kind of a community awe for one approach, meaning that those who are not going to be required to be tracked, those under 12 plants still will be paying into the system because of their fees that they pay, could in fact be used to offset the cost for those who will be in the tracking system. So those are the six that we are looking at and moving forward. And as I mentioned, we believe virtually all of those amendments would have fit into 1057 because they are addressing some of the shortfalls we feel. And as I mentioned, that is the reason that I voted no for the amendment, because I'm concerned about those shortfalls and how it will adversely impact the medical community. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
Thank you. And Senator Brzezinski, could you just summarize the numbers I have
yes.
on the list here?
They are number 43, uh-huh. number 40, number 26, number 37, number 38, and number 41. Those are the ones that we have in play. There's others that we had listed, but instead of calling in at the last moment and having them come off, there are a couple that are backup type of amendments that could be used for one of the ones I designated.
Great. And so those numbers of amendments are all on OLIS for people to look at. There are a lot of amendments, so I appreciate you focusing on the ones you're pursuing.
I have one other thing, if I could.
Yes, please.
I also would like to thank, because I'm looking out and seeing Steve Marks and Jesse Helm. They came by the office, as well as Rob Ovette, and Jeff Rhodes was in the neighborhood.
You said Jesse Helm.
Oh, did I say Jesse? I'm sorry. I was saying Ken. Jesse Sweet. I'm sorry. I was looking over at Ken at the time. I do. I will be paying after this meeting. I can tell already. So I apologize for that. But I do want to thank them for coming by and sitting down with us. Senator Cruz was able to sit in on part of that meeting, and I think it was very insightful and gave us more clarity as to how the metric works. So thank you very much. And for Jeff and Rob, if he's here.
Great. Thank you. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I want to thank Senator Brzezinski for his work on the amendments. I share many of those same values there, so I appreciate the effort put forward. I think one of the linchpins of the whole process is the fact that that a marijuana grow site, in my opinion, should be able to transfer up to 20 pounds a year. Important thing. For this to work. And so that and the expenses that can be incurred by the small grower are of great concern to me in this process. So anyway, thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Senator Cruz.
Yeah, and I want to also thank Senator Brzezinski for leading the way on our work that we have been doing. But I also want to just say one more time, we spent so much time running in fear of the federal government on this whole process. And I would just point out, in the continuing resolution Congress just passed, they had a prohibition against interfering with the states. It's been a continuing thing they have continued to do and will continue to do. So there's a lot of bluster, but it kind of speaks. We shouldn't be running in fear of the federal government. We should be building a system that works for Oregon. And I think we need to back off of that fear mantra that we've been operating under.
Representative Pilm.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just wanted to acknowledge all the conversations that have been going on around how we move forward with both of these bills in the last few days and last few hours, and the accommodation to move forward on House Bill 2198 and some of the proposed amendments. That really has paved a way forward for me to be able to vote yes on this bill, and I expect to be involved with those discussions as we move into the next week and coming weeks after that, and I'll pledge myself to work collaboratively and very diligently on those ideas and see if we can find a home for them. Thanks again.
I appreciate that. And I might note also that one of the primary goals of House Bill 2198 is to find a kind of a process for a commission that would deal specifically with medical issues. That's not reflected in these amendments, but it's a core element.
2198.
Representative Fahey.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I know we're not planning to move the dash 11s tonight, but I just wanted to reiterate how important I think it is that we address that issue going forward, the issue that we talked about going on in Deschutes County. So I know there's conversations happening between various stakeholders on that, but if those conversations don't prove to be fruitful, I really hope the legislature would consider taking action this session, even if we don't necessarily think the dash 11s might be the best way to do that.
Appreciate that. Representative Wilson.
Thank you for your indulgence, Madam Co-Chair. I appreciate another opportunity to speak. I would like to second what Representative Fahey has said here. I think that is a significant problem over in Deschutes. Since Madam Co-Chair, you brought up the commission that we're considering for 2198, I would say that is also very important to me and I think others of us here as well. My hope is that it is not a toothless commission, that it can actually do something. And my fear is that it will be nothing but an advisory committee and as such will not be taken seriously. So I hope we can do better with that. But again, reverting back to 1057, my concern here remains, several things, but I'll just mention the tracking issue now for OMMP. My hope was that we could find a middle step and improve the medical program. And I thought a good process to find a middle ground, middle step would be to tighten the tracking, but not tighten it to this particular point. I thought it deserved a middle step before we went this far. So just felt compelled to explain what my greatest concerns are about the amendment before us.
Thank you. Other comments, Senator Farioli?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I want to put some comments on the record because of my respect for Senator Cruz and Przanski and Representative Wilson for their work on the other amendments. I've been pulled into several conversations, briefed on progress, watched from a comfortable distance the struggle that the members have had to try to emphasize the issues that they believe and I believe also need to be addressed. I have enjoyed the conversations, particularly from a distance. The issue of wanting, and I do want a more robust tracking system because unlike Senator Cruz, I don't believe our ability to predict political futures is at all reliable. And all I have to do is point to the election of a president that most people would have voted and bet against. Many did in Oregon both vote and bet against the president that we now have. And the changes in the administration are not fully implemented. So the rhetoric is mixed, and I don't believe it's necessarily in fear, but in prudence that we assert the compliance and a strong seed-to-sale tracking. Gives us possibly an affirmative defense that we might not have otherwise. And it's a maybe, but it's worth, I think, the risk of doing that. We also know that the issue of diversion and leakage are real. They have to be addressed. I strongly favor a cannabis commission. It will bring a better perspective to the regulations for medical licensees and a more humane administration, I hope, to a program designed to help people obtain palliative care and to alleviate pain. That's the purpose of that program. And I think sometimes we get bogged in the regulatory detail, but the fact of the matter is it's supposed to be based on compassion. And right now I'm not feeling the compassion from the current administration of Oregon Health Authority. So I am anxious to see a commission that has more than advisory role, as our good Senator Olson said. And also Senator Wilson, or Representative Wilson. I've sought out and received assurances from the chair that the work represented and by the proposed amendments will be considered in HB 2198. Matter of fact, it's made part of the record. So it's on the record. It isn't a pinky swear. It's real. The other thing, of course, is that this assurance represents the legislative intent of the co-chairs to consider the amendments and deal with the issues that are important to the members of this committee and to patients under the OHA program. So I'm going to be happy to support this bill, and I'll point out I don't believe we've had a split vote on a measure that's gone to the floor yet. And I'll have to ask the analyst, Mr. Crawford, but I think this, if we do have a split vote today, it'll be the first time in the history of the Joint Committee that we've had a split vote. I understand the reasons why, but I would also assert that I've had assurances, other members have had assurances that we're going to deal with the issues that are yet to be dealt with in HB 2198, and I look forward to that. And Madam Chair, with that, I will be voting yes on this.
Thank you.
Amended bill.
Thank you. Other comments from the committee? Okay, will you call the roll, please?
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Senator Cruz?
No.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Fahey?
Aye.
Senator Ferrioli?
Aye.
Senator Brzozinski?
No.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Co-Chair Burden?
Aye.
Co-Chair Leiter?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you, committee. This has been a lot of work in this bill. I'm sensitive to your comments, Representative Wilson, about the timing. This is one of those things, after years in the process, there just seems to me to come to a time to vote and a time to consider issues that are still left over. And my commitment to both is very real, and I look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you.
And very hard on some of these issues.
Madam Chair.
We will have Senator Ferriero.
There are 10 Fridays left in the legislative session. So if you think, and we've just begun to take up the House bills. So if you think that we have all kinds of the luxury of time, we don't. So, you know, the thing I'm looking forward to more than deliberation on the House Bill 2198 is sign to die, but it is coming. It is coming quickly. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Ferrioli, do you have horse to the barn syndrome?
Yes, ma'am. I've had that since February 2nd.
All right. With that, you will co-carry with me this bill.
Madam Chair, I'll be delighted to co-carry.
All right. Thank you. And now we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 874.
Need a carrier for the House.
Not a carrier for the House.
Oh, that's right.
We only care about the Senate on this side. We don't really care about the House.
Just housekeeping.
I think there's your answer.
Andy.
What? I think I'm getting a no there from...
I was watching.
I reckon so.
Who are you most afraid of? Okay, I apologize. Reopen the work session on 10:57 to announce the House carriers, which will be Representative Leininger and Representative Olson. Okay, now we can open our public hearing on Senate Bill 874.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 874 requires owners and employees of marijuana businesses licensed by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission report violations of marijuana laws or regulations. It requires OLCC to suspend or revoke a license if an owner or employee does not report violations of marijuana laws or regulations.
Okay. Senator Ferrioli, would you like to talk from here, or would you
I'll
like
be,
to...
I'll be comfortable to speak from here. This is one of those situations where I don't expect any licensee to be appreciative or happy that they might be facing mandatory reporting. But for a couple of years, we've listened to folks stand up for the conversion of an enterprise that's largely existed in the shadows to become a legitimate, upfront, transparent, well-regulated business. And although it's not my intention to have the mandatory reporting requirement apply to cardholders or members of the general public, it is certainly my intention that if you hold a license from the state of Oregon to conduct an enterprise which is in the cannabis family of enterprises, that you will, in fact, stand up for a well-regulated, transparent system and report violations. It's the leakage and the diversion that's causing anxiety about whether or not we have a well-regulated program. And if it's determined that our program is not well-regulated and transparent, the whole thing's in jeopardy. So I would just suggest that at some point, folks that hold the license have to understand that that's a public trust, that it is an obligation, and it's also in the best interest of those licensees to stop black market activity in cannabis. No getting around it. It isn't about the Wild West or a wink and a nod. It isn't about medical growers watching U-Haul trailers head south stuffed with excess product. You know, we have provided mechanisms for legal entry into the recreational system. We've done virtually everything we can to end prohibition. It's still a rocky road. There are local arguments about time, place, and manner enough to keep us busy for another couple of years. There are, you know, lots of different interests that have to comport in order to have a maturing industry. But sooner or later, people are going to have to understand that because you have been given an opportunity, those who have been given a high public trust have a high obligation. And the obligation is to report violations when you find them to the proper authority so they can be stopped. That is probably more words than exist in the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Pretty short.
Thank you for that. We have one witness signed up, Chris McAllister.
Madam Co-Chairs, members of the committee, members of the public, I am in opposition to this only because I feel, my name is Chris McAllister, I'm from Lane County. I feel that this is toothless. Without further reform within the state and agency systems. As a member of the OMMP program, I have reported through the OHA and through the public health regarding tainted dab that had dog hair, plastic, and other items that were on sale in the patient section at reduced price. When I reported through the OHA and the medical dispensary program as a mandatory reporter trained in both youth and elder care, I was told I'd already spoken to the investigator, even though I'd never spoken to this investigator. The product was removed for 3 days and then put back on sale at a more reduced price. One of the biggest labs in Portland changed their standards after I reported it, but OHA would not. They then would release rules regarding reporting that would not actually include patients. So parts of 2198 and current law prohibit due process and grievance following for members of the OHA and OLCC from being held accountable for not acting on reports. As a person who found children in our lobby, not able to be in our lobby at dispensaries because of rules regarding children in the lobby, we found that children were being kept in cars in temperatures above 100 degrees and temperatures below 40 degrees. And when this was reported, we were told, talk to OMMP. And so when I spoke to OHA, they told me that their hands were tied by legislature and that they would be sure to bring it up. Patient reforms are being backseated by market measures, and so I feel like you are creating more of a hassle when we have conjoined systems because we don't have a clear way to report. If, as a member of the constituency of OMMPs, I'm under the governor, and then when I report to the governor's office, I'm referred to my legislator, and I'm referred to OMMP regarding problems with the laws or clarity of the rules regarding problems. So when we have a question of, is this medical, is this rec, is this both, who do I talk to? OLCC sends me to OHA, OHA sends me to OLCC, OLCC sends me to the governor's office, OHA sends me to my legislator. No one is willing to help me. They say patient reporting is not my problem. So given that they are going to be providing medicine at rec shops free of tax, I think that we need some kind of clarity if we're going to be mandatory reporting. As a mandatory reporter who has over 100 times pointed out rules that endanger our sick, I feel that there is no room for us to actually act on any of this. So thank you for your time. I appreciate your guys' work and look forward to talking to you further.
Thank you. Wait, questions?
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And we have PK signed up.
Thank you, Madam.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name's Pete Kramer. If you have been here for many years, filming it, letting the citizens that watch the programs see what's happening, and mention about to your website to see other episodes of these hearings we're hearing. You're doing a good job with this committee. I think we should have several patients on the committee, and even the old OMMP committee that has a quarterly meeting should be represented there, because we gave a lot of comments and we would never get any return response. And this is mentioned. I hope this committee that's going to be formed, and maybe even I could be on it, because I am a patient and a concerned citizen. We have to be for the patient. They're the ones that are really suffering. And really, we're just wasting our time, because we should all have a garden and be able to get our own medicine. Thank you very much. Have a good day. And I'll see you next week, huh?
Thank you. All right. Senator Krasinski.
Yeah, Madam Co-Chair, I'm wondering if I can just ask a couple of questions. Senator Farioli may be able to answer that. If not, then maybe Adam will be able to help us out. I'm looking at how the bill's drafted and what it includes, and I was skimming through the 475B just to kind of get a grasp of it. Senator Farioli's statements were specifically looking at diversion of product. And I'm wondering if that's what he was really wanting to focus on, because there's stuff in here such as if someone is under 21 years of age that attempts to purchase, are we requiring that licensee to somehow mandatory report that person to some set of authorities? And I'm trying to look at that as what are the obligations for a licensee under the alcohol side as to ensuring that we're not somehow setting up a different standard, because I think all of us have kind of talked about wanting to maintain continuity between the two. And as it's currently written, it looks like any type of violation of law or rule, there's going to be a requirement. And I'm just wondering if that is, it seems overbroad for the size of magnitude of stuff that could be reported.
Madam Chair, in response, I agree. Senator Przanski, we put a catch-all together. This is the ORSs that we thought would apply. But in point of fact, what we're really after is a set of authorities that creates a rulemaking opportunity for OLCC. And it would be essentially directed to the objective of stopping leakage and diversion. So the proper ORSs would be the ones that have to do with illegal production, illegal sale, illegal diversion of cannabis. That really is a refinement that has come through discussion since the draft was posted on OLIS. So I'm open to amendment, and I anticipate, and I will hope, that there will be a rather robust response from the licensed community, because I don't know how people can resist the idea that if they have a license by the state and know of violations of the law, that they would not be complicit by not reporting them. You will be complicit. So the idea is that I would hope that reporting could be confidential, would act as an affirmative defense, and would also lead to rather strong enforcement by OLCC and others that have regulatory authority, with the idea that the penalty would be suspension or revocation. Now, when we have egregious violations under OLCC, repeated violations, whether or not it's a bar or a club or a social venue or a retail outlet, there's a series of responses that OLCC takes. It is escalating, and it's usually a measured response calculated to get compliance. And it escalates to match the severity of violations and the frequency. It ends in revocation. We see that not frequently, but enough to send the message to the licensees that they have something more at risk because they are licensed. So that's the thrust of the bill. It's 14 lines long. And my expectation that there be a robust response from the licensees. You better get an oar in the water. But the point is, I don't believe you can evade the responsibility that you've asked for. And what you've asked for is to be licensed. And to be licensed is to be compliant. And the key point in the Cole Memorandum on compliance is to do everything we can to interdict diversion. This is a step that's so obvious, I don't see how we can avoid it.
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Follow up?
Yeah, thanks for the clarification. It does seem like where we're wanting to focus is where I think most of us would be, is that it's on the diversion part to ensure, because if the bill doesn't call out for the commission to actually go into rulemaking, I know that they will, but knowing as it's currently written, which was extremely broad, we may want to look at what are those sections that we're really looking that we want to have impact on and not the administrative type of technical stuff.
And Madam Chair, in response, if I'd have had more time and the discussion, the benefit of the discussions that we've had, the bill would be shorter than 14.
The shorter, the better.
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Yes, I, too, will be very interested to hear from licensees, especially since we're apparently on the road to getting a whole lot more OLCC licensees. I'll be interested to talk about the process as well. We now live in an age of competition, heightened competition, where one retailer or dispensary owner could make false accusations about another simply to harass them. Also, the ever-present issue of disgruntled employees as well doing the same thing. So, yes, it'll be, I think, very interesting to hear exactly what the process would be, how this thing is actually fleshed out as we consider it further.
Thank you. Other questions, comments? All right. Thank you, committee. And next week we will have our first hearing, or actually not our first, but our first new hearing on House Bill 2198. So we are adjourned. We are adjourned.